presence, knowing that you want to bless us. You have a plan for our lives. And that plan is not to harm us, but to give us a future, hope, life, and a blessing. Thank you that we can put our trust in you, that you will do what you said. You will do what you promised. You do not change. And only you have the words of eternal life. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We ask that you will open the eyes of our understanding, that you will grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, band, for blessing us. And for those who shared the words God laid in your heart, it's often amazing how God confirms one's sermon by the things that were said. If I have to summarize the three words, God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us, but obedience leads to this blessing. Because God will do what He says. That is faith. Faith in Him, trust in Him, and loving Him to be obedient to what He says. That's the essence of Christianity. I wanted to title my sermon Everyone. But I thought to continue with this building theme and call it Building on Christ. And the word that I want to share this morning is for everyone, whosoever. And I want to start off by this question. Who of you want to be blessed, happy, wise, and resilient to overcome every challenge in life? Well, what is amazing is God promises us that there is a way to be blessed, happy, wise, and resilient to overcome every challenge of life. And like we heard this morning, His word is true and He will do what He says. In this life, we all will face many challenges, storms, disappointments, and setbacks. It is part of a fallen world that we live in. And no matter who you are, rich or poor, one thing is for certain, you will face storms in life. But not everyone knows how to deal with the challenges and storms of life. And we see it in the statistics. Our stress, depression, divorce, and suicide in our time is rising. Because people do not know how to deal with these challenges, and God promises us a way to deal with it. We all need wisdom to overcome these challenges. And Jesus made a profound statement that anyone can, everyone can, whosoever believes in Him can. But there is a catch. There is a catch, because not everybody does. And so today we're going to start a series of exploring what Jesus taught, how to be wise, resilient, and blessed. Pastor Hendrik, last sermon of 2024, started on building on the rock. And so today we are going to continue with that thought of building on the rock. And I want us to consider, meditate, and hear what Jesus have to say. I want us to look at Jesus' words and its context. And I'll start off by saying that this very well-known portion of scripture was the end of a sermon. It was a conclusion, the punchline, the summary of it all to end off an entire sermon. And we're going to start with an end and then we're going to continue from the beginning of the sermon looking at exactly what did Jesus say will lead to what he promised. And here's the conclusion, here's the punchline, here's the end of the sermon. I'm going to start off with the end. Therefore, Matthew 7 verse 24, the well-known Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, the challenges of life. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, the same challenges, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowd were amazed at his teaching. And so let us also be amazed at Christ's teaching, but consider what he said. I want us to look at Jesus' words and its context. Understand what he said and consider the practical application and then trust him to apply it and pursue to do just what he said. Because he is faithful and just. If you do what he says, he will do what he promised. So, I want to start off with an illustration. Who of you were not here during Christmas sermon? Okay, great. For you, I want to ask the following. I have a blessing here. It's going to bless you. Do you trust me? If you trust me, believe me, this will bless you. But you have to do something to get it. You have to believe me. And you have to come forward to receive this blessing. Who of you trust me enough to do that? Well, come forward. But it's only for those who were not here on Christmas Day. Why do you trust me? Why do you trust me? If you did trust me, you may have something in here. Yeah, come. You can pick one. Enige ene. Kies ene. Come, we must be quickly because the sermon is going to get very long. But whosoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be wise. So are you blessed? I think there's enough for everyone. Ja, jy moet mooi kyk. Dat's opties. Dis 'n groot plesier. Ja, nou, you must get it for yourself. Okay, while they're receiving their blessing, it's amazing. All you need to do is to trust what he says. But if you trust what he says, you will actually do what he says. It's not just the hearing of what he says that blesses us. It's when we do what he says that we have the blessing. And this is Christianity. Christianity is not just believing in Jesus Christ, but trusting him enough to follow him, to do what he says. And in that we receive the blessing. That's why Jesus says, everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Oh, and of course Jesus said, the one who is lost will be first. So you get two. That's just something that he said. But I want to continue on that theme. Firstly, Jesus said, the words that I have spoken. These words that were spoken was at the end of a sermon. An entire sermon. And so many sermons are on the end of the sermon. But the end of the sermon is not the point. The point is all the things that I have said in the sermon. If you hear and do them, you will be blessed. Now, of course, I believe that everything that Jesus says is applicable in this example. Anything that Jesus said, if you will hear and do them, you will be wise and you will be blessed. But in this specific context, I want us to consider exactly what did Jesus say. Not just everything, but specifically in the sermon, in the context, what did Jesus say that if you hear and do these things, you will be wise and be resilient against the challenges of life? And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to journey together through a sermon of Jesus that promised that if we do these things, we will not only be wise, we will be resilient to all the challenges of life. The first important thing to note what Jesus said was that this truth is for everyone, whosoever. It's not just for a select few, a special group of people, but for everyone. Not just the learned, but whosoever believes. What also struck me when Jesus said, these words of mine, in the New King James, these sayings of mine, in Greek, it says, this logos of mine. It's not the rhema, but the logos, the plain word. You don't need special revelation for you to understand it. It's just the plain things that I'm telling you now, if you do it, you will be wise and resilient in life. Most of what Jesus said is just plain and simple truth for everyone to understand. It will not require a degree, a PhD, or special revelation to understand what Jesus taught. As a matter of fact, one of the professors that I followed on hermeneutics, the interpretation of the word, often quoted almost in every single lesson. He said, all you need to interpret the Bible is the Holy Spirit and common sense. Because it was written to common people in common Greek, so that everybody could understand. It was written to be understood by everyone. It was not written to the pastors or the elders. It was written to the people of the church. In not high Greek, not educated Greek, but common Greek for the common man, so that everyone can understand. So all you need to interpret the word is the Holy Spirit and common sense. And so when we journey together on what Jesus preached, let's just listen with common sense and the Holy Spirit to understand what he meant. That what Jesus said is what he meant. There is no secret hidden knowledge. And of course, in the Bible in general, there is also poetry. There is also parables. There is also revelations like the book of Revelations that you have to interpret differently. But for 90% of the Bible, it is just plain, simple truth. Read it at face value. Take it for what it is. And make a decision whether you're going to follow it or not. It is plain, so that whosoever believes will be saved. And so when we start this journey together, and I really want to encourage you to do this together, read this Sermon on the Mount for this season and really ask the Lord to come and show you what it means. And he will do that. Understanding the Sermon on the Mount is not our challenge. Our challenge lies in the application of it. Not understanding what he said. But this is what he promised, that those who do it will be wise and resilient against all the challenges of life, and your house will not be destroyed. It will remain. Most of the Bible is plain for everyone to understand. It's like when the Word of God says, do not lie. There is no hidden message here. There's no secret knowledge. You do not need a PhD in Greek to understand do not. Who of you do not understand do not? Do not means, I've checked it in Greek and Hebrew, it means do not. Do not lie. You know how many people do not do that? How many people reason around it, try to justify why and when I may lie? But God says, do not lie. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Believe in God. Follow Jesus. It's not hard to understand what it means. The challenge is to do what he says may cost me something. There are times when it is more profitable for me to lie. In my understanding, in my way of thinking, it might be better to lie. But God says, do not lie. And then I need to decide, who do I trust? Who do I love more? And so the decision to obey God is faith. And that's why James says, faith without works is dead. Because works is an expression of faith. Because I believe in you as God. Because I trust you and because I love you, I will be obedient to what you say. Even if it costs me something. And you know what's the challenge? The cost is temporal. The reward is eternal. And so that's what Jesus says. Everyone who hears these saying of mine and do them is wise. It is foolish not to do what I say. Because if you do what I say, when you face the challenges of life, your house will not be destroyed. But if you do not do these things that I tell you now, when you face these storms, your house will be destroyed. And this is for every one of us. What an amazing promise. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at just that. Jesus literally said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be wise. Challenges and storms in life will come to everyone. Those who follow Christ and those who do not follow Christ. It is universal. We live in a fallen, sinful world, and we will face challenges of life. Jesus never said that if you follow me, you will never have a storm in your life. You will never face challenges, disappointments, and setbacks. He never said that. He said, if you follow me, I will give you grace to overcome everything that life throws at you, because I will be with you. But he never promised that if you, that's prosperity gospel. Follow Jesus and everything will go fine. No. Jesus said, in this life you will have persecution, but in me you will have peace. And so what we need to understand is that in life you're going to face challenges. Very important to understand that. You're not exempt from the challenges of life, the disappointments, the setbacks, if you follow Jesus. The difference is, if you follow him, he will teach you to be resilient and overcome all the challenges. And that's what he promises us. It will be foolish not to pursue and live his world, his words. It will be foolish. God does not want anybody to be destroyed or go to hell. Therefore, he gave us Christ. And he gave us a way to live a life that we will not be destroyed and have eternal life. But it's up to us to choose whether we're going to follow him, whether we're going to accept Christ, and whether we're going to follow his ways. It's our choice. And so there is, in a sense, an invitation, but also a responsibility. Don't be foolish. Be wise. As God says, I put before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Therefore, to everyone who hears and do will be wise, and their house will remain. So let us be wise and consider closely what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. Hear him. Seek to understand what did he say and what did he mean, and do it. That will make you wise. Live it. And teach it to others to follow as we follow Christ. That is the Christian life. So let us start by looking at the sermon. Its context. I want us to start with Matthew 5. And we're going to work through Matthew 5, 6 and 7. And as we do, I want to encourage you to also in your own quiet time, read and ask God to give you understanding. Allow the Holy Spirit to also teach you. And I trust that when you come on Sundays, you will not hear something new, but it will be confirmation to what God has already told you in your own personal quiet time. So let's start by Matthew 5 verse 1. As an introduction to the sermon, this is the context. Now, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. It's very interesting. Jesus were going through all the towns and cities and villages of Israel, and as he went there, he taught in their synagogues and he healed the sick. But Jesus was always on the move. It's one distinguishing factor of Jesus' ministry. He never stayed anywhere. He kept on moving. He kept on moving from one place to the next. And as Jesus was moving, people followed him. And there was always a crowd that followed Jesus from one place to the other. And here is another example when Jesus saw, as he was leaving one town and he saw this great crowd following him, we read that he went up onto the mountain and he sat down and his disciples came to him. It's very interesting to note that how often the same parties are mentioned in the teachings and the recordings of Jesus' life. We always see Jesus, the crowd, the disciples, and the Pharisees. Now, in this case, the Pharisees is not mentioned. But it is very interesting, as you read the context of everything that Jesus does and say, you will always find it will be Jesus, the disciples, the crowd, and the Pharisees, and then also individuals. It's interesting to note that, and also when you study the Bible, to see what did Jesus say in the presence of whom? What did Jesus say to the crowds, and what did Jesus say to the disciples? What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? It's a very interesting study, but that's for free. I find it very helpful. The question why I'm mentioning that, or the reason why I'm mentioning it, is who are you? Are you a crowd? Or are you a disciple? Now, because you are here, I assume you are all disciples of Jesus. You are the ones, when you saw Jesus, when Jesus saw the crowd, interestingly, he didn't go to the crowd. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up to the mountain. Something about Jesus, he always leads. He always leads. And we need to follow. So Jesus saw the crowds, but he didn't go to the crowd. He actually went up the mountain. He moved from one place to another, and everybody was watching Jesus. They saw him go up the mountain, and the moment he stopped, the moment he sat down, his disciples came to him. They went up the mountain. And as we read in the end of the sermon, many of the crowd also followed Jesus. And this is an important principle. Everyone who wants to receive from Jesus must move to where he is. Only those who followed Jesus up the mountain heard what Jesus said. Jesus was always on the move. He leads, and only those who follow receive. If you want to be taught by the Lord, you need to position yourself to where he is. Often we need to move from where it is busy to where it's quiet. Because that's why Jesus went up the mountain. Or we need to move from the world's way of thinking to his way of thinking. We must be willing to move, to change, to come to him. Moving to him is an act of acknowledgement, surrender, and honor. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm here with the crowd, with the people, but you are there. Your ways are different to our ways. And I want to hear what you have to say. So I'm going to move from one place to another. It is the story of the kingdom of God throughout the Old Testament. When Israel was slaves in Egypt, God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go so that they can worship me in the desert. I want my people to move from where they at to where I am, so that I can teach them." And what happened? They moved, and God gave them his ways, but they kept on longing to be back in the world. But for those who followed him, trusted him, inherited the promised land. But those who doubted him died in the desert. And so this is the essence of Christianity. You need to move. You need to be willing to change. It's a great adventure with lots of challenges. One thing about an adventure I've noted is adventure always comes with risk. I mean, an adventure is not sitting on your couch watching, who's the guy? Bear Grylls. That's not an adventure. Bear Grylls is having the adventure. He's taking the risk. I mean, the adventure is not walking over a bridge over a river. The adventure is going through the river without the bridge. There's always a risk involved. God is an adventurous God. He calls us to face challenges and overcome it. I mean, if you drown in the river, it's not an adventure, it's a tragedy. God doesn't call us to tragedy, He calls us to adventure. But He's always going to lead you to a river, to a fortified city, to giants. And He says, you know what? I want to teach you to overcome. I want you to have an adventure with me. But that's for free for someone. Here's the point. If you want to be taught by the Lord, you need to position yourself to where He is. And He's always on the move. And when He moves, you have to move to where He is. Because that communicates that you really want to know what He has to say. And after hearing what He has to say, here comes the litmus test, the determining test, whether you're part of the crowd or whether you're the disciple. Here's the test. Here's the distinguishing factor. The crowd hears what Jesus says, but do not follow Him. Do not do what He says. The disciples are the one that not only hears what He has to say, but actually do it. That is what makes you a disciple of Jesus. There are many people that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They call themselves Christian. Like 80% of our nation defines themselves as Christians. But 80% of the nation do not do what Jesus said we should do. And Jesus says, this is how I know who is my disciples. If you do what I say. So here is how we distinguish between the crowd and the disciple. Those who actually do what Jesus said. So it is not the hearing. That's why Jesus says, those who hears my words and do them is wise. But those who hears my word and does not do it is foolish. So here's a distinguishing factor. So you need to do what He says. A disciple is the one who not only hears the teaching, but does it. A disciple first have to hear and understand what Jesus said. Then you need to decide, am I going to change? Am I going to pursue what Jesus said I should? Or am I going to remain the same? Am I going to change the purpose of my life, the pursuit of life, to do what Jesus said I should? That has a cost involved. And so at the same time, you have to count the cost. And Jesus made it very clear. You have to count the cost. As a matter of fact, it's going to cost you everything. Jesus said, if you love anyone more than me, your mother, your father, your children, your own life, you can't be my disciple. You have to love me more than anything and anyone. Because at some point, they may challenge the choice that you make. And you need to decide who you're going to follow. So, let us listen intently in this coming weeks. Let us listen intently. Pursue to understand what Jesus said. Trust Him completely. And ask God to help us to do what He said. Can we do that? It's going to be challenging, but it's going to be a great adventure. We're not going to watch other people do it. We're going to be there with Bear Grylls and cross the river. The great thing is, it's not going to be Bear Grylls, it's going to be Jesus. Jesus is going to take us to rivers. that is in full flood. And he says, today we're going to cross this river. I'm going to show you how to do it. Do you trust me? You have to do exactly what I say. And you will make it through this river. And then you will be able to help others to cross the river. But you have to do what I say. Otherwise, don't get into this river. So, let us listen intently to what he has to say, pursue to understand, trust completely, and ask God to help us to do what he says. So, you need five things to do that, and I forgot to put it on my slides. Sorry, the second, I'll improve. The first thing is, what we need to do in this coming week is we need to acknowledge that, let's put it this way, we need to acknowledge that he is God. It sounds obvious. But we need to acknowledge that the one who's spoken these things is God. Almighty, creator of the universe, all-powerful, the creator and sustainer of life, and the only way to eternal life. We need to acknowledge it to ourselves. It is God who's speaking. It is Jesus, God incarnated, coming into the world to give us the words of eternal life and the way to him. It's the first step. We need to acknowledge that. We need to settle it in our hearts. This is not a wise professor. This is not a philosopher. This is not a celebrity. This is God himself speaking to us. This is not Andre's sermon. It's Jesus' sermon. Does it make sense? So as we study together, read together, settle that in your heart. It's God who speaks. Second, we need to be willing to listen to him. You must be willing to listen. And with that, you must be willing to change. If you're not willing to change, God's word will do nothing for you. Because it will require you to change. So you must be willing to listen, but also to change. That's why Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine. Have you ever told your children, kan jy my nie hoor nie? Het jy nie gehoor, ek het gesê, jy moet nou kamer toe gaan nie? And what we're asking them is not, did you literally hear my words? We know they heard our words because they looked at us. And they continued to play. So, Jesus is not saying, do you hear what I'm saying? He's actually saying, are you doing what I'm saying? And so we must be willing to. So, first, we need to acknowledge him as God. Second, we must be willing to listen, and then we must be willing to change. In other words, we must move to where he says we should go. And to do that, you have to trust him. You have to trust him. Because this river is going to be in flood. Everything in your flesh may resist this. The world's way will be completely different. And God's going to tell you, trust me. Trust me. And then you got to do what he says. You got to be obedient. You'll have to follow him exactly. And you will have the greatest adventure of your life. So, next week, I'm going to end here. This is the introduction. Next week, we're going to read the sermon. I'm going to start with the beginning of the sermon. It is three chapters. We're going to work through it chronologically, and we're going to ask ourselves this question. Do I trust him? Am I willing to change? Do I understand what he said? And am I going to do that? Is that all right? Okay. Let's read as an introduction the beginning of the sermon, the upside down kingdom. And next week we'll talk through it. Matthew 5 from verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. And he began to teach them. Let us also do that this coming weeks. Let's come to him and allow him to teach us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are insulted, persecuted, and falsely accused of all kinds of evil because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That is next week. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you've given us the opportunity to be taught by you, not by man. Thank you, Father, that you've given us your word and your spirit that we may know you, and that you may lead us to be blessed, to be wise, to be resilient, to overcome, and have eternal life. Lord, I pray in this week to come, Lord, that you will grant us the humility, the hunger and thirst, the faith, the trust, and the love for you. To hear you, to move to where you are, to humble ourselves, to quiet ourselves, and to listen to what you have to say. Grant us the grace, not just to understand God, but to do what we hear, to put it into practice, that we may reap the promise, the blessing, and the purpose of it. Thank you that your word will not return void to you, but it will accomplish its purpose for those who believe it, trust in it, and follow it. And most of all, God, thank you that this word will lead us closer to you, to your heart, to your mind, to your will and your purpose, to know and to understand you. Because this is eternal life, to know the Father and His Son. So Lord, like Moses prayed, we pray, Lord, teach us your ways that we may know you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, for the next week and weeks to come, journey with us. There's your homework. Read it in your quiet time. Meditate upon it. Ask the Lord, what does this mean? Speak to Him. And let's share together next week. May God bless you.